Pilate's peace. Who is a king and what constitutes a kingship? You see, in our passage today from the Gospel of John, the conversation between Jesus and Pilate revolves around this very issue. Is who is a king and what constitutes a kingship? Our story today begins with Pilate in verse 33 when he summons Jesus to come before him. And then he asks, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Now Pilate had experienced an uneasy relationship with the Jews. And on more than one occasion they had complained to the emperor about him. In questioning Christ, Pilate reveals his own fear about a Jewish uprising. He's kind of afraid of what's going on. But in typical fashion within the New Testament, within the parables that we read, Jesus answers Pilate's question with a question. Don't you just love it when you ask somebody something and they turn it around on you? Well, this is Jesus. This is his MO. He's got that down pat. He turns it right around and he says, in effect, he becomes the examiner in this situation. Pilate becomes the one that's being interrogated. In verse 34, it says, "Do you ask this on your own," Jesus says, "or did others tell you about me?" Where did you get your information? Who have you been listening to? Where have you been? Did you do this of your own accord? Or has somebody told you about me? And in his answer, Pilate says, "I am not a Jew, am I?" And Pilate distances himself from the Jews that he governs. He stays away. But Pilate reminds Jesus that it is his own people who have handed him over. He says to him, "You must be a pretty bad guy because your own people have handed you over to me." But instead of answering Jesus' question earlier, he asks another. He says to him, "What have you done? What have you done?" Have you ever been asked that question? Probably many times in your life. As a child, you were probably asked that question by a parent whenever you had done something wrong, and they already knew it, but they'll say, "What have you done?" And you're like, you stumble and stammer, and you can't, because you don't want to tell the truth. Because sometimes telling the truth does what? Gets us in more trouble. Then telling a story definitely gets us in more trouble. "But what have you done?" Pilate asked Jesus. Throughout his ministry, Jesus has been seeking to dispel the popular notion that he will be the political ruler who will free the Jews from Roman oppression. In Jesus' answer to Pilate, he shows once again that his kingdom is not a political or social one, but a spiritual and eternal one. He's trying to tell him, listen, it's not like all the ones before that have been in power, all the political folks that are out there, all the ones that rule with armies, all the ones that are just having trouble. He says that's not what it's about. It's not about the political and social scene. It's about spiritual. It's about yourself. It's about what you believe. It's about an eternal thing that's going to happen after you leave this world. But in describing his own kingship or reign, Jesus states that it is from God, not a ruler located in Jerusalem. That it is from God is where my power comes and where my authority comes. It comes from God. Jesus reminds Pilate that if his kingdom were a political one, that Jesus would have had servants and legal counsel working to free him. But no such people appeared that day on Jesus' behalf. Can you imagine that? Here is someone who has been living and working amongst the people for some time, has been teaching them and showing them and leading them, and then all of a sudden, whenever he's in trouble, the people that are supposed to be following him, the people that are supposed to be lifting him up, the people that should be praying for him and protecting him are nowhere to be found. They are away. They are somewhere else, not worshiping that day. They are somewhere else, not helping anybody else but themselves. They are somewhere else turning him over to Pilate and not worrying about the outcome because they didn't have time to stay. They didn't have time to be a part. They didn't have time to come and listen. They didn't have time to come and share and be involved because they just didn't have time because it was an inconvenience. It's an inconvenience. You know, lots of times in our world, we don't do something because it might inconvenience us. We don't have time. Surely, I don't have time for this today. Surely, I don't need someone else worrying me about something. Surely, I don't have time to stop and pick that person up. Surely, I don't have time to take them somewhere. Surely, I don't have time to come to Bible study because, you know, I just don't feel good today. I've had a headache. I'm tired. We just don't go visit our brothers and sisters in Christ because, you know, that would take some of our time. But what do we all have? We have time. It's how we spend that time. Now, this week we've had people doing all kinds of stuff for other people because it's been Thanksgiving and people have been kind. People have been inviting people to eat with them or they'll bring them a plate or something because some had to work, some couldn't be somewhere. Many had other things to do. But also during this week, you've been out visiting and doing things. I know that some of you all have been to visit Joe and Donna and Marcia and Jim because they told me. They said it was so good to see everybody. You just don't know how good it is because when you stay at home, when you can't be a part of something anymore for a while, it does make a difference. Now, then they'll tell me too, you know, I got a card from so-and-so. Got a card today in the mail. Or this is the, and everybody's been so good to us. But think about, that's the people that are supposed to be here that we're missing. Those that for some reason can't make it. But what about those that maybe have been gone for some time? And we wonder what's going on, but we don't want to ask. We won't want to say anything. Sometimes all you need to do is just put pen to paper or pen to a card and write them a little note and just let them know you're thinking about them. That you love them, that you miss them. You don't have to accuse them of anything. You don't have to question them. You don't need to say, where in the world have you been? That's not the way to welcome somebody back. Just say, you know, I'm thinking about you. I do. I have prayed for you today. I've thought about you. Just hope you're okay. That will make a lot of difference in the world that we live in. I get cards all the time, and I thank those people all the time because they make you feel good, don't they? When someone takes a time in this world that we live in where we do this all the time, where we text people every moment of the day, we see what's going on. Let's see has somebody sent me something? Lord, there's an email. Okay, over here, I need to text so-and-so. Let's see what's going on. Or we go onto Facebook and we see what everybody's doing. And I mean, I really don't care what you eat for supper, nor do I care that you're going to bed or that you went to the bathroom. God bless you. But we seem to tell everybody everything on here. But if I'm going to do something on here, if I'm going to tell somebody something, I hit this thing up here that says private messenger, and I talk to that person. I don't put it out here for everybody to say, Lord, I can't believe that. And then everybody has to jump in. Those are ways, and when we've gotten to a world that does this, and we forgot how to do this, and write somebody a note, and just let them know you love them. So when somebody takes the time to get a card and put a 50-cent stamp on it, you think about it, and put it in the mailbox. Snail mail, they call it now. Been snail mail for a while. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I appreciate snail mail. And if you are like a lot of us that still get our bills in the mail. Like, yay, I know I need to, I'm paying that. You know, when that's what you get or when you go online and pay everything and you're thinking, when you see a card or you see something that looks a little bit different than that white envelope that looks like a bill or a statement or a balance or whatever, you're like, wow. Do you lay it down and then open your bills first? No. You put them down and you open that card. Because that card does what? It means something. It means something because it, and you'll see who it's from and you're thinking, I have no idea who this person is. And that happened to me this past week. I did not recognize the name, and it's not nobody around here. And I looked, and I thought, who in the world is this? Well, I opened it up, and it began to go on and on about something that had happened a very long time ago, and they thanked me for something. And I began to put it together. It was a grandchild of someone that I did a funeral for a very, very long time ago. And they were a teenager at that time, and they're a young adult now. And they just thanked me and let me know what was going on with the family and some other things, and thanking me for being a part of their life. And I was like, wow. You know, and part of that was not trying to, you know, tell me everything was wonderful, but to let me know what was going on in their life too. They took the time to say thank you. They also took the time to let me know what was going on and what was happening in their life, some of their struggles, some of their frustrations, but to say, I thank you for being there when our family needed you the most. And that's what I tell young pastors all the time, even folks that are my age that's going into the ministry. I said, you know, you're going to preach a lot of sermons. You're going to say a lot of words. And people are going to remember one or two things in a lifetime that you might have said. But I said, if you are with a family, whenever they have some kind of sickness or some kind of illness, if you're with a family and you follow them and you hold their hand and you're there with their loved ones through thick and thin, and you're able to be there for that family when that person dies, that's what people remember. That's what people will remember, how well somebody cared about you and your family. No matter how active or inactive you were, no matter who did or did not know you. You see, no such person appeared on Jesus' behalf that day. Would you be one of the people that appeared? Would you try to be there for somebody? In verse 37, Pilate again asked, so you were a king? Again, Jesus does not directly answer that question. Instead, he tells Pilate that his purpose was to testify to the truth, a true knowledge of God. I'm here to testify to the truth, a true knowledge of God. And then adds that everyone who belongs to the truth or to God listens to his voice. If you know the truth, if you belong to it, if you listen to it, if you belong to God, you know His voice. You're there. The implication is that Pilate, who is not listening to what Jesus is trying to say, does not belong. Pilate doesn't belong. He's not there. He's not believing. Pilate didn't find anything wrong with him, but he still did his job. He washed his hands of things. He turned him over. You see, again, in this thing, Pilate misses the point. Changing the subject, Pilate then asks Jesus, what is truth? Throughout the rest of the encounter with Jesus, Pilate continues to question Jesus without ever getting to the heart of who Jesus is or about the true nature of Jesus' kingship. He doesn't really care. Although Pilate finds no reason to condemn him, Jesus to death, he ultimately caves in to the jeering crowds and sacrifices Jesus in order to keep peace and protect himself. How many of you all have ever thrown anybody under the bus, as the old saying goes, to save your own skin? How well did it make you feel? Have you sacrificed someone else for yourself? Have you let somebody else take the blame for something you did? Have you not stood up for what you believed in? The question for you and I today is, where do we find ourselves in this story? Too often we are playing the role of Pilate. Although you and I may be curious and perhaps even annoyed and inconvenienced by this man Jesus, we don't really want to know the answer to the question, are you a king? Perhaps we are afraid of what it will mean to follow such a king. Perhaps we know what it will mean and we consciously choose not to follow the command to have the mind of Christ and willingly lay down our own lives. You know, if we follow Christ and we have the mind of Christ, we are saying in part that we are willing to lay down our own lives for Him and for other people. We are willing to stand in the gap. We are willing to be there for them. We are willing to walk with them on their journey. We are willing to be there for all. Perhaps like Pilate today, we cave into the pressure to keep the peace and protect ourselves rather than doing what we know to be is right. You know something, sometimes in this world we live in, we choose not to go and help. We choose to cave in, and sometimes we have to deal with that with our own self of what we did or did not do. But we have to look to Jesus. He's going to be right there. He's not going away. He's not gone anywhere yet. Jesus is the good shepherd. As the song says, He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, worship and adore Him. He's the good shepherd, and He calls us to still waters. And He also calls us to an overflowing banquet table. We come each first Sunday to share at the banquet table. We come remembering. We come to share. However you and I, like Christ, may have to walk through the darkest of valley to get there. Are we willing to be like Pilate and try to find peace within ourselves? Or are we willing to stand up? Are we willing to stand in the gap? Are we willing to be in this story today? And we have to ask ourselves where we stand, because we're the only ones that can answer that question. We can't answer it for someone else. Oh, we think we know things and we think we know people's hearts, but we don't. But we have to stand in it for ourselves and no one else. Because Jesus is the one that we're going to stand before one day. And He's going to ask us some questions. And we're going to have to answer. We're not going to have to answer for mom and daddy. We're not going to have to answer for your husband and wife, or your children, your grandchildren, your friends. You get to answer for yourself. Everybody has to stand up for what they believe in. Or they'll sit down and deal with it however. What is your truth today? Think about that this week. Let us pray.